Welcome back to Braincast. Today, I'm glad to be joined by Tanvi, a former neuroscience student here at Sussex who later went on to study her master's at UCL and is now working within the cancer field. Join us to hear all about her experience studying and researching within neuroscience and related fields. Thank you so much for joining us. So just to start with, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're currently researching or studying within your field?
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, so I'm Tanvi Patel, a first class neuroscience graduate from Sussex, who's actually ventured into cancer research. I've recently completed my master's in cancer at UCL, and I'm soon to start as a clinical trials assistant in the NHS. My research interest began at Sussex, where I took modules like cell regulation in cancer and also completed a summer internship in neuroscience. And for my master's dissertation, I focused on oral cancer, analysing radiotherapy strategies, as well as their impact on patient outcomes. It involved a lot of Excel coding and wondering why I thought statistics would be fun. But ultimately, it's incredibly rewarding because every number in those spreadsheets represented a real patient and the potential to improve their care.
Amazing. Thank you. So just looking back a little bit, I know you said that you did a cancer module at Sussex. How was that experience? And do you think there was anything that you learned or skills that you picked up that you used within your master's?
Yeah, definitely. So academically, yeah, the module cell regulation in cancer, I think it was taught by Dr. Joanna Richardson. This really stood out to me because it showed how cellular chaos sort of links both of my interests of neuroscience and oncology together. And obviously all of these skills are then I took on and carried on into my master's degree.
Was there any research skills that you gained at Sussex, whether that was lab work or any other modules or any extracurricular research work that you did?
Yeah, so I did a summer internship with Soco Bio, which was definitely an eye-opener for me. It was my first experience sort of applying what I'd learned in lectures and labs and putting it to practice. So I worked in a neuroscience lab, ran experiments and analysed data and learned that research doesn't always work the way that you expect or hope it to. And by the end of the internship, I'd really gained independence and confidence in the lab because at first I would nervously double check everything with my supervisor. But by the end, I was confidently running experiments on my own. And all of these skills are definitely going to be invaluable in my upcoming role in the NHS, where attention to detail and analysis are key skills to have.
Yeah, definitely. And as you said, I think most students would agree that when you first start lab work or research work, you tend to ask your supervisor almost every question, even though you know what you're doing. How was that transition? And do you think it took you taking your master's to finally be able to be independent within your research work?
I would say at Sussex, my neuroscience definitely, my degree and my internship definitely started, you know, I started getting there with my independence, but I don't think it was quite there where my master's sort of. Obviously, yeah, it's very independent. You're made to do everything by yourself. Obviously, your supervisor's there to guide you along the way, but ultimately it's down to you to make you know, take your own initiative and yeah, do it yourself basically, which was, it was good in the long term, I think. Maybe not in the moment, it was overwhelming, but yeah, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah, definitely. Could you tell us a little bit about your master's and your research work that you did, the topic that you looked into?
Mine was mainly focused on oral squamous cell carcinoma. So I analysed radiotherapy strategies and how they impacted patient outcomes. So it was sort of a new skill that I was learning because I was learning how to do a lot of Excel that I wouldn't have probably done before, coding a lot of new statistics programs. Which again, like this is basically what I wanted to do in my future. So it was actually a good starting point for me to learn the skills I needed to know.
Yeah. With any kind of research, there's always challenges that you face, especially if it's your first time researching. How did you overcome those challenges and what might have they have been?
Yeah, 100%. I think knowing where to actually start in the first place is so important because it's so overwhelming. You get this whole list of topics and you don't know what, you know, if something doesn't interest you, it's a bit difficult, but it's hard to just trying to find what you're interested in, but also being passionate enough to write a whole dissertation about it. Because, it's a lot of research, it's a lot of literature reading. It's important to really just get your head around it in the first place and start writing and ask for help if you need it. And Yeah, I think it is really hard, especially just like balancing everything, work-life balance as well.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think you followed an interdisciplinary approach within your master's? As you said, you've looked into statistics and then you've got the biology side of it as well. Do you think it's important to have all those different skill sets to do research work within a biological field?
Yeah, 100%. Even things like coding, you wouldn't expect it to be involved in things like neuroscience or cancer, but a lot of neuroscience is, doing like neural networks, looking at computer interfaces, which is what the future could actually hold. So all of these skills, statistics, computing, they all definitely come in handy within neuroscience and oncology, both fields.
Definitely. And I think you have mentioned this, but what was your final year dissertation at Sussex? Could you tell us a little bit about that topic?
It was with Professor Louise Sapel, and it was about at the time there was very controversial use of amyloid beta in Alzheimer's. So my granddad actually passed away from Alzheimer's, which is what sort of triggered me to study neuroscience in the first place. And I just thought it's so interesting that we know so little about such a big neurological disorder that affects so many elderly people. And yeah, it was just really interesting to sort of research more into it and find out if there's any treatments, what we could be potentially treating, what we already are doing for it. And yeah, I thought it was just really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of people within neuroscience have a personal, relational anecdote that makes them want to pursue that kind of field. So that's really interesting. With your summer internship, how would you say that students approach applying for one? Do you think it's something that you have to think about early on, or what was your applying process?
So for me, the reason why I actually applied for it was because with so when I started university, it was during COVID, so we actually couldn't do a lot of labs and things, and I didn't actually know a lot of people on my course, which was yeah. So for me, I've just really wanted to actually get some lab experience to know if this is what I enjoy and what I want to do in the future. So yeah, I would definitely advise people if they get the opportunity to 100% go for an internship. Just apply to as many places as possible. They're really competitive, but what I learned in those 6 weeks, I'm definitely really grateful for. I learned so much lab skills that actually helped me in my third year dissertation as well. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think those lab skills kind of crossed on to your master's as well? Do you think you would have been at maybe a disadvantage if you hadn't done that?
Yeah, I think so. There was
Yeah.
obviously lots of labs in my master's as well. But yeah, so in my internship, I trained in various lab skills such as Western blotting, cell assays, which I eventually was doing them on my own by the end. And it really developed a strong sense of attention to detail to ensure that we have accurate and reliable data results, which again, they also actually just hone your time management skills and ability to balance multiple skills and meet deadlines because you're doing all of that at the same time. And it develops your patience as well because it's not always going to work. It took me pretty much by the end of the 6th week is when I was confident and, had an experiment running smoothly. But at the start, I made so many mistakes. But that's obviously how you learn, make those mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah, definitely. And I know a lot of students sometimes worry about swapping career paths. You're still quite related in biology, but what advice would you give to students who maybe study neuroscience and find it really interesting, but might want to explore a different topic within that field or even an unrelated field? What advice would you give to them?
Research a lot about if you're passionate about something, just even though you're doing neuroscience, if you're passionate about something else, just keep updated with the daily news on that topic. Read loads of papers behind it. Reach out to other professors or, people that researchers that are in that field and ask them questions if you're intrigued about anything. I think people are always happy to help you and, they'll probably be really happy to talk about what they're doing and it might be something that actually persuades you to change degrees or do something else after your degree.
Yeah, definitely. And do you think there's any topic areas that you've learned within neuroscience that you could vitalize within your research and work now?
Yeah, I think what I definitely thought was really interesting was the concept of neuroplasticity. So the brain's ability to rewire itself after trauma or injury, which is pretty incredible. It's not just a scientific concept, but also a message of hope for people recovering from strokes and injuries and any neurological diseases. And the whole idea of brain-computer interfaces is so fascinating. The idea of controlling prosthetics or devices with just your thoughts, it feels like science fiction, but eventually it's going to become real. And the more that we uncover about these mechanisms, the closer we are to treatments that could restore the functions that people may have lost. And while my focus right now is on cancer research, I think the advancements in neuroscience, they do link to how interdisciplinary and innovative the field is in general.
Yeah, neuroplasticity is really interesting. Is there any interesting research or breakthroughs going on within that field that you know of?
Yeah, I think for me, obviously, I'm a bit biased, but neuro-oncology, I think, is such an area
Yeah.
with huge potential because there's still a lot that we don't understand about how cancers interact within the nervous system. So brain tumors don't just grow, they manipulate neural networks, which, is fascinating and terrifying at the same time. But the fact that we could unlock these interactions, it could lead to treatments that we know nothing about now, not just for brain cancers, but for other cancers too. And another area I think is personalized medicine, because tailoring treatments for neurological disorders is based on an individual's genetics. And once we move away from that sort of one size fits all approach, this is what could revolutionize care and improve outcomes for patients. And I think, yeah, I can't wait to see how that evolves in the future.
What fueled your passion from shifting from that neuroscience field into cancer? Was it anything that you found at university, or was it your own research work, or any papers that you found interesting that brought on that shift?
So one of the most profound and unforgettable experiences I've had at Sussex was witnessing the live dissection of Tony Cruz. So this was the UK's first public cancer donor at the Brighton and Sussex Medical School. So it was the dissection was part of we had a journey of cancer workshops, and this was actually featured in the Channel 4 documentary My Dead Body. And this was such a powerful reminder of actually the human side of science. So Toni's bravery in choosing to donate her body for public education, and her story of battling a rare tear gland cancer, is very moving. And it sort of reminds you that it's not just about anatomy or the pathology, it's about Toni's legacy in raising awareness of cancer and educating people. And witnessing this firsthand is actually what solidified my determination to study cancer and find ways to improve treatment and care. And it reminds you that science is not just about data and results, it's about the people actually behind the research and
Yeah.
the stories and the impact that we can make on their lives and their futures.
Oh, amazing. That's definitely a really cool experience.
Well, definitely.
So, yeah, what is the future now for you? I know you've just got a new job. Congrats about that. What do you want to do now in the future within the cancer field?
So what my job is, it's as a clinical trial assistant in the NHS. So I work at a hospital, and I basically make sure that any clinical trial projects at the hospital are running smoothly, and support medical research and making sure that patients are given the best care possible. So if they report any side effects of a new drug that we're trialing, then I'd have to deal with that. And I think for me, clinical trials is something that I've always been really interested in, because it's just it's fascinating that there's so much new breakthroughs out there, and you have to trial all of them to actually, it takes years to go through a whole clinical trial. Each phase is really long, and it's really interesting how the process sort of happens. And in the end, if it works, you get a new, medication that could potentially save loads of people's lives, which is fascinating.
And is there any advice that you would give to maybe current students or aspiring students who want to go into master's or PhD programs, if it's neuroscience related or even cancer related? What would you give advice to them about?
Stay curious, ask questions about anything and everything, even if you think they're stupid. Neuroscience or any, field of study is so broad, and you don't need to know exactly what you want to specialize in right away. You should try different modules, join societies, explore areas that you think might excite you, and that's how I actually found my passion for the neuroscience cancer overlap. And definitely don't be afraid to step outside of your comfort zone, take on internships, leadership roles, even related fields like my move to cancer research. All of these are going to add skills and values like to your journey and portfolio. And lastly, I would say it's so important to, you forget when you're doing like such an intense degree, but to look after yourself, because this field is
Yeah.
so intense and you need to find what keeps you balanced, whether it's cooking, dancing, binge watching your favorite show. Mine's usually a mix of all of them. And just remember to take care of yourself. And you know, you're not able to take care of other people if you're not looking after yourself first.
Thank you so much for joining us, and it was really insightful to hear your experience and all the advice you gave to students. So, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It was really interesting.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and if you'd like to get involved with hosting an episode for Braincast, please get in touch with us to find out more.